Shalom and good morning, saints. I do hope you are well and fine and looking forward to another blessed day today. Each day that comes to us is a wonderful, precious gift from God. It has, so to speak, brand new hours. When you were asleep, you recuperated, you have fresh and new energy, and be thankful to God for that. And so regardless of whatever situations could be at the back of your mind, you can at least be thankful to the Lord that He has given you life and the opportunity to hear what you are listening to right now. And I hope it will be a blessing to you. Now let us continue reading from where we ended yesterday. And that is in Luke chapter 5. I will continue reading in verse 2. And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And now let me explain something here before I continue reading. So this is a time when people were pressing the Lord to speak the word. And so he decides to use one of the boats as his platform, where when he speaks, at least everyone can hear him, everyone can see him. And so he happens to speak to Simon, who was, of course, later named as Peter. And well, Peter is not yet a converted man, but the Lord asks him if he could use the ship and maybe push it a little away from the land. But well, this is Simon, a fisherman, and even after the Lord told him that, I want to believe he continued doing whatever he was doing, washing the nets, because this was not like a church service. This is just an outdoor meeting and very informal, you would say. This is not in a synagogue, a kind of an environment people are accustomed to. But this is just open space, and well, people want to hear the Lord speak something. And is it surprising that most of the times God manifests his work not when we plan something dramatic, but when we are unaware, when, well, we think this is just informal and you're going about your work? Many times you need to pay a little attention. It could be in such a situation that the Lord is going to speak something. Okay, and in verse 4, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon. Now, we need to observe that the Lord had spoken, well, perhaps a long sermon. He may have taught from the scriptures and all that. But we don't get to hear any special event that happened. We can say, well, the service is over. But in all what the Lord had spoken, there was perhaps nothing which moved Peter. He was just busy with whatever he was doing. And this can happen even in our church services. This can happen in our families, where you may desire that someone in your family or congregation, God can get to them, maybe through a preaching, through a sermon. But you know what? God works in very mysterious ways. A time comes when his voice finally penetrates to the heart, in a way, in a circumstance, by a certain situation we may have least expected that God can speak using that situation. What you see in the life of Peter here, what touched him was not the sermon the Lord preached. Well, obviously, that sermon reached out to someone who was in the crowd. But let us observe what happened after the Lord was done speaking. He turns his attention to these fishermen, and in particular to Peter. And in verse 4, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now, is it not interesting that on this particular day, Peter actually had a very bad business day, we may call it, because he answers the Lord, and Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, this was his trade. This was his skill. It is what he used to feed his family on. And when you are a businessman, you are not like someone who is employed, who works maybe at the end of the month or in some countries at the end of the week to get his pay. As a businessman, each day counts of how much you have made. And if you've made losses, that's quite a concern for you. And well, Peter did nothing. And I believe even when he was washing his nets, well, perhaps he could have been thinking, how will I pay that credit? How will I, what food will I take home? And here the Lord comes and tells him, let down your net for a catch. Now, what kind of a preacher would speak such a thing? You're just from preaching your sermon. And then, well, you tell these men who are obviously from working, perhaps they worked through the night, as I understand, fishing for these commercial fishers. They may do it in the evening times. But, well, whatever time this was, the thing is, Peter had already done that. And he tells the Lord, well, we actually toiled all the night. It was actually in the night. We toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Now, what the Lord was speaking to Peter was not just a haphazard thing. Everything was in the plan of God. How Peter that day he would put those boats there, how the Lord will ask him to use one of the boats, and it had to be Peter's boat because that was the day the Lord had made for him to do something which would turn around the life of Peter. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. Wow, isn't that amazing? In one moment, there's no fish. In another moment, the Lord Jesus, when he was in that boat, wherever those fishes were, there was a power that caused an attraction. From the west, the north, the east, that fish started coming to the spot where the Lord was. There was a fish which was in the west. There was a fish which was in the north. Now, these fish did not correspond and sit down with each other and say, you know what, let us have a minister's meeting. We discuss this and that because we need to convene in such and such a place. No. Wherever those fishes were, it was an orchestration of God. It was the working of God, the Spirit of God, taking that fish which was in the north, in the east, bringing them together in this little spot. All right? And many times people think the unity of the faith is something which will be orchestrated by the instrumentation of human efforts. Sometimes people think it is through ministerial meetings and to argue over doctrines. Well, that could be maybe something helpful in certain situations, but let us understand what the unity of the faith is all about. It will be a working of the Holy Spirit, okay? And here is how the unity of faith looks like. It looks like this. Peter goes up in the upper room, or on the rooftop of his house, and he is praying. Something just led him into that short fast, and he was hungry. And instead of waiting in the kitchen or in the living room, something had just prompted him to go to the housetop. Praise the Lord. And As he is praying, he breaks into a vision, a very strange vision, something which was contrary to what his mind had been taught, that you can't eat unclean animals. And it's in that moment God says, kill and eat, something very controversial, something which was way out of his way of doing things. But well, it was the working of the Lord. And the Lord, and he comes out of the vision and he's very confused. He is doubting actually his experience. When you read the account, please read it when you find time. He has these doubts. What kind of an experience is this? And it was strange to him. And it didn't take long before there was a knock on the gate, because they were men who had been sent by Cornelius. Cornelius and Peter did not know each other. Cornelius and Peter were not in the same faith. Cornelius was just a man who was seeking God, but he didn't know the way. He didn't know the details of it. Here are men who don't understand, who don't know each other. And if those two men at one point did things in their own way, in their own way of arguments, Peter would probably never have convinced Cornelius. But when the Spirit of God, because God's word is a spiritual thing and spiritual things are spiritually discerned, and so if a person who speaks language A and another person who speaks language B have to have a common understanding, we need to know that there is something deep in their hearts, and it is the spirit of life which came from God. At that point, whether Peter is a European, whether Cornelius is a black guy, or vice versa, or another person is of another race, there is a common tying point, and that speaks of that thing which came from God, the spirit of life. And you know what? The flesh will speak a language depending on the area it came from. Right now, I'm in Norway, and well, people are speaking Norwegian. I can't understand a single word about it. But you know what? Deep in my being is a component which was manufactured not in Zambia or anywhere else. It came from God. It's the spirit of life. And deep in the hearts and in the lives of my brethren here is also the same thing. And only God is able to speak for that component to wake up and to understand. And here is Peter, who was on the rooftop. Here is Cornelius, who was very far from wherever he was. But that same spirit, it spoke. And both these men's spirits were able to hear the language of God. And the men told Peter, well, our master Cornelius has sent us. He's looking for a man, Simon. And the speaking of the Lord did not miss it. It was direct. And you know what? Peter was beginning to understand the interpretation of what the Lord had spoken. And, you know, sometimes people argue what thunders are and all these things. Listen to me. If God doesn't open the eyes of someone, I don't care how articulate or how eloquent you are, it will just go over the head of a person. Why? God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him as he is, in spirit and in truth, and only his spirit can do that. So, was very convinced in what he was doing. He believed 100% his zeal was sanctioned by the Lord to even arrest believers. It took just one moment of a flash of light, and he heard the voice of the Lord, I am the Lord whom thou persecutest. And that was the turning point. That was it. That was it. It erased everything he learned in all his Bible college. Why? God revealed himself to him. Now, Peter and Cornelius were brought to one point, and Peter, everything was strange to him. Number one, it was contrary to the doctrine he had been raised up in, to eat or even to enter a house of a Gentile. But thankfully, he was humble enough to experience what the Lord Jesus had told him, that I have so many things to tell you. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Now, that was a promise of the Lord Jesus Christ, but a promise is not enough. There has to be willingness. There has to be humility. Because when there's willingness, then, and when there's humility, then we shall be able to discern what is the Lord speaking here. We will be able to step out of the way and say, Lord, have your own special way. And this is what we see. Two men who didn't know each other, but they were humble enough to see what is the leading of the Spirit. And this same Spirit brought them to one spot. And what happened? Cornelius also got baptized into the same faith that Peter was in. What did it? Not a ministerial meeting. And please, I'm not trying to underplay the importance of ministerial meetings, but I am also aware that the flesh can so much get in our way until we think that's how things work. But God has his way. And so we see these fishers, which were coming from every corner, from every direction, following the leading of the Spirit. Yes. And you know what? You are also a fish. Yes. An elect. And I want to believe that before the rapture, God is going to do a mighty work. No, it won't be some individual calling himself a chief apostle or a lead apostle, which everyone has to follow. Far from it. It will be the working of the Holy Spirit. The big question is not whether you are intellectual enough to understand whatever will be taught. And believe me, you, when that time comes, when the Lord will reveal those deep things, it won't be a hard mathematical formula or some deep mystery which allows you to read 10 volumes of books. It will be very simple, and only the meek will catch it. And here we see all these fish coming to the spot where the Lord Jesus Christ was. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. But you know, the thing which amazes me is there was excitement when this thing happened, and they were calling out to each other, come, help us, the net is breaking, and oh, it's a mighty catch. Now, can you be Peter for a second? Let's go back in history and let's be there. Let's say you are Peter and you have a lot of business, a lot of pressing issues in your business. Creditors need to be attended to, employees need to be paid, so much going on in your head. And do not think Peter was a Superman or something. He was a natural man with natural needs. He was a businessman. He was going through problems that a businessman goes through. And I'll tell you what I would do in my kind of framework of the mind if that thing happened. Immediately I'll say, God has vindicated my business. Wow, this, I'll use this to pay that creditor. I'll use this to do this and that. It's time now for my business to expand. I mean, what else can it mean if God blesses my business? It means he is in this, or probably God is establishing me to start helping out missionary work and all that. Well, there'll be all sort of good things go through my mind. And that is where the devil usually traps us, in good things, because it's not every good thing that is right in the eyes of God. It's about what is the will of the Lord. What is God speaking about a situation? It's not about connecting this dot and that dot, and your mind can come up with a very clear plan of what this thing is all about. Notice what happened to Peter. Peter wasn't excited with what happened. It instead brought fear in his heart. He thought, what is going on? Peter realized the presence of the Holy God is here. But my heart is contrary to that. I'm not a righteous man, and this thing is going to put me in trouble. So verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. When Simon Peter saw it, my question is, how many other people saw it? He saw what everyone else was not seeing. He saw the presence of a holy God and his sins. He became very conscious of his sins. And he tells the Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Oh Lord, it didn't take Peter into excitement, but it brought the power of conviction where he felt unworthy of what had happened. And notice the Lord told him in verse 10, fear not, henceforth thou shalt catch men. And in verse 11, something very strange happens. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Oh, it was a great business day, but instead, the message was opposite. They forsook all. That was the purpose of the miracle. God multiplied the fish in order for them to forsake those things. What was the message of God? The message of God was, leave these things, leave your career, and don't worry about it, how you take care of your needs. The same God who has done this multiplication of the fish, he is the same God who will take care of you. And my question is, are we able to discern the speaking of the Lord? Do you remember Elisha? In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19 to 20, Elijah was passing by and he threw his mantle. And immediately Elisha told Elijah, oh, master, let me just go and say bye to my family and then I'll come. Elijah said, hey, what did I do to you? Now, see, when God is doing something, he's not always going to speak audibly or through a clear dream. It can be through a situation, a circumstance, a happening, an event. The question is, do you have eyes to see what the Lord is speaking? Elisha was able to open his eyes and say, the Lord is calling me. How? Was a word spoken to him? No. His spirit caught what God was speaking. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, we read about the calling of Samuel. He heard the voice. Did he know how to respond to the voice? No, he did not. He went to Eli asking, you called me? He said, no, I didn't. Second time the voice came. Again, he went to Eli. The voice was so natural that Samuel couldn't recognize it. Many times, you know, we think God will speak through a very dramatic way, maybe striking our emotions, maybe feeling some electricity in your body. Hey, listen to me. God can speak in something which seems very ordinary. And the question is, have you ears to hear, to discern the voice of God? Thankfully, Eli instructed Samuel, because Eli realized, I think God is calling this young boy. And he instructed him, the third time it speaks, you should say, here I am, Lord, speak to your servant. Now, here's something interesting. Do you realize that when the voice of God first spoke out, Samuel was going a wrong direction? God did not say, hey, stop, it's me calling you here. And here's the lesson. Until we know how to respond to the voice of God, we won't be able to hear more. We won't be able to receive more instructions. You need to be humble enough. You need to be taught how to respond to the voice of God. And gradually, you begin to learn how to manage your gift, how to flow in it. Why? Your ears are open. You're able to hear what the Spirit of God is leading you into. Shalom, and may God bless you.